الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I am in Kuwait. I arrived early this morning and today was my first Taraweeh here. Really, I think in my view, having been here many times, a couple of times in Ramadan itself, once also twice in Ramadan, so this is my third time I think in Ramadan. Truly, if there is one place where you get the real pleasure of praying in Ramadan, it is in Kuwait. Amazing, the masajid, the maintenance of the masajid, the cleanliness, the beautiful aroma of perfume as you enter there, and then the recitation. I mean, I think the world's best reciters and the Qurra of the Quran, they seem to be in Kuwait. I mean, there's such beautiful recitation. Every time I come here, I think I've heard the best, and then there is someone who's better than that. Alhamdulillah. I prayed today in the masjid of Sheikh Rashid, Mishari Rashid Al-Afasi, Hafizahullah. I had the honor of meeting him the last time I was here in Ramadan again, of praying behind him and meeting him. I listened to his qirat all the time. To actually pray behind him was absolutely beautiful. Today I prayed behind the Imam of the masjid, who recites just like Sheikh Sudais. And another Qari, mashallah, I have asked Umar to attach the qirat of both of them so that you can also take some pleasure from this. But the actual experience of listening to them, praying behind them in the masjid, every way the masajid are so beautiful. I mean, the speaker systems, the sound systems, absolutely superior. It's very, very wonderful to be in a place where you find people have taken so much care with the house of Allah and in trying to make it beautiful, may make the experience beautiful for those who come there to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all the people who are involved with this and who work, and to protect these masajid and protect all the masajid in the world, and all the sha'ar of Islam, all the signs of Islam, the madaris, the jamiat, all kinds of good work that Muslims are doing everywhere, inshallah. Another wonderful thing which I noticed, which again, you will see the photograph which comes with this reminder, is there was a man praying in front of me, in the saf before me, who had he was wearing his uniform, and on the uniform it said, it's written in Arabic, which means cleaning. So this was a man who's a cleaner, who's a sweeper, and he is praying in the same saf as everybody else. Now this is the beauty of the equality of Islam. And of course we know that if there was an occasion, an opportunity where to lead the salah, this man would have been qualified to lead salah and people would have prayed behind him. I have personally seen it happen in Saudi Arabia and in different places. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of the equality of people before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to remember this also when we are in our dealings with people, because Allah made us equal, but sometimes we don't respect that equality, and we treat each other without the respect that is due to an individual, because that person is a human being, irrespective of who he is or she is. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself once again that Alhamdulillah, we have been given a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has weighed the scales in our favor. Allah has the playing field is not level anymore, the playing field is tilted in our direction. So even a little action will have huge consequences, beneficial consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reward of fard for every nafil that we do, whether it is nafil salah or nafil sadaqah or whatever. Any nafil ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward of fard. And every fard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reward for 70 fard. So let us concentrate in our salah. Let us not get distracted by all kinds of things. Subhanallah, I mean, while I saw this beautiful example of beautiful prayer in this masjid, I also saw, may Allah forgive the person involved, I saw this brother who was sitting in the saf with his phone, and he was watching some movie on this phone, while the salah is going on. And when he feels that the imam is now about to finish the recitation and go into ruku, he puts the phone in his pocket and he stands up and joins the salah. And in one time, the phone must have buzzed in his pocket or something. While the recitation is going on, while the salah is going on, the man pulls the phone out of his pocket and reads that message and then puts the phone back in his pocket. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I'm thinking to myself now, here is this man, what do I say to myself? Here is this man who is taken all the time and trouble to come to the masjid. He's praying Taraweeh, he's come all the way to the masjid, and then having come there, I'm not even talking about the fiqh of whether his salah itself is valid or not while he's doing all this. I'm just saying, just look at the tragedy of this. And the reason I'm saying this is because this is, in one way or the other, this is the state with a lot of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We allow all kinds of distractions to destroy our worship. Even though we have taken the trouble to go to the masjid, we have taken the trouble to do something, we allow some things to distract us. You know, the great danger of so-called small things. We tend to ignore small things, but it's like drops of water. You know, in our villages and in many places in our cities, in India, when you there are public taps, and where people can go and fill water to take home and so on, because there's no piped water to their houses. Now you will see there that this public tap has there's usually a stone platform there. And in the stone platform, there is a depression. And this depression has happened because the tap is leaking and this water has been, you know, dripping and dripping and dripping. Not to mention the thousands of gallons of water that gets wasted. I'm talking about this dripping water, drop by drop by drop, on this stone will drill a hole in the stone. But you bring the same 10,000 gallons of water and dump it on the stone, nothing will happen. And this is the reality also with our life. It is the small things which add up. It is the small good deeds which add up. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that small deed which is done consistently as against a big deed or a big amount of deeds which are done once in a while. So maybe one day with great josh you decide you're going to pray Qiyam all night or something, and then after that you can't even get up for Salatul Fajr. And that is not something which is good. Whereas a small deed, just sticking to the faraid, for example, or any other small deed which you do, but you do it consistently, this has a huge effect. Vice versa is also true. Small things, so-called small sins. Take, for example, telling lies, right? To us today, we have got to a stage where it doesn't even register to us that it's a lie. For example, if you tell someone, I will do this for you by tomorrow, and you don't do that, it's a lie. You have broken your promise. Now, it doesn't even occur to us that this is a sin for which I will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Make no mistake. So, the point is that this is how we have desensitized ourselves. Telling tales and ghibat and slander and backbiting, all of these things appear to be small things, but believe me, these small things, they will destroy us. Mosquitoes, there's a piece of statistic that I read somewhere that it says that mosquitoes kill 2 million people a year. 2 million people. Can you imagine that? And if 2 million people died, it would be genocide. It would be something absolutely crazy. But here, mosquitoes are doing that, and they're doing that annually, every year. Right? 2 million people a year die because of mosquito bite or malaria or some other kind of mosquito-borne disease. I can give you many examples like this of so-called small things, but the small things are the ones which are the killers. So let us be very, very careful about the small things. And as they say, you take care of the pennies, the pounds take care of themselves. And the same thing that happens as far as good deeds as well as bad deeds are concerned. Take care of the small ones. The big ones will take care of themselves. You don't have to worry about them, because if you are concerned about the small things, automatically you will be even more concerned about the big things. So guard your tongues. Let us be very clear about ourselves. Let us guard our tongues. Let us guard our eyes, our ears, our hands and feet. Let us guard what we eat and what we drink, what we put into our mouths. This is in our control. If you have any doubt at all, do not eat it, do not drink that. Let us guard our actions, let us guard our speech, and make sure that we do not say or do something or anything which can potentially harm us in this life as well as the hereafter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your ibadah in Ramadan and to reward you in keeping with His Majesty and grace. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put this love of Quran in our hearts so that we can enjoy the recitation, we can enjoy and look forward to going to the masajid to listen to good recitation and to enjoy that. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do whatever we can do in our power to protect the masajid, to have the best facilities, the best environment in those masajid, and insist on the Quran being read properly and peacefully and calmly, not in a hurry, not in a rush, so that we can enjoy that. We need to respect the Quran. So there is the issue of the adab of the Quran, as well as the issue of the enjoyment of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we need to do. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do all of this and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.